the Jedi. As you'll know, anybody here, do we need to fill anybody in? Does anybody not know what a Jedi is? One or two do not know what Jedi are. Star Wars. The new movie's just coming out in a year's time. The trailers are already hit. The promotional videos are already out. Great excitement. And the Jedi are the warrior class, as described in the Lucas films. And tonight we're talking about everything we as Christians need to know. I think one of the frustrating things about doing it like this is that what I think, the more I feel it, I'd love to be preaching Ephesians chapter 2 to you tonight. You know, I'd love to be preaching the word to you tonight. But what we've been doing in some of these subjects is talking about where other people are coming from and trying to review where other people are coming from and perhaps hearing how plausible some of their positions are. You know, you think people are kind of crazy. And people aren't crazy. And they've got their ideas, and some of the ideas are strong ideas. And when you meet people and you get talking to people and they start to share what they believe and what they're interested in, you know, you encounter the strength of their own convictions about life. And, you know, it's good to be prepared, isn't it? So that you're talking to people with your eyes open and with a bit of understanding, you can hopefully get behind their arguments and really present Christ in a really compelling way. A lot of these sessions have been about evangelism in a way, preparing, helping people in their evangelism, to talking to people. Now, here's the facts. In 2001, there was the national census of 2001. There's a very knowing look there. I think there may be somebody who ticked the box. You get a very set of choices in the census. They put out the census. And one of the questions they ask is lots of very domestic business that they ask about. But they actually asked about people's religious affiliations. What do you believe? And, of course, Royal Church of England, aren't we? We'll tick the box. But it seems not. It seems not. There's actually quite a wide range of convictions and beliefs in this country. In fact, the list is quite long. And then there's a box at the other end called Other, Please State. Well, when the 2001 census was finally published by the National Office for Statistics, or the National Statistics Office, I can't remember, they're two different departments. That was a joke. They said this, and I have to say, I salute them for this. They put out all the figures, and then they said, 390,000 people, Jedi they are. Right? Which I have to say was an exhibition of great humor on behalf of the National Office for Statistics, because one of the characteristics of one of the leading characters in the Star Wars film, that one of the master Jedi, is this figure called Yoda, who has a very bad grip on English grammar and says everything backwards, you know, Jedi we are, rather than we are Jedi, and so on and so forth. And that's actually, the National Office for Statistics published their report in Jediese for the benefit of all the 390,000 people in this country who declared in 2001 that they were adherents to the Jedi faith. The Jedi faith. Which is quite remarkable, especially when you realize that if you take the Jewish community, which is a significant body of belief in this country, they are half the size of the Jedi community in this country. The Jedis are twice as the number of the Sikhs in this country. There are more Jedi than there are Buddhists in this country. There are way more Jedi than there are Jehovah's Witnesses in this country. This is a very significant body of faith. Now, I know, it's all tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? It's all tongue-in-cheek. But even tongue-in-cheek is a philosophical position to take, isn't it? To be cynical is a position to take. It's a belief. in its own right. And 390,000 people in 2001 expressed their convictions in that way and declared themselves to be Jedis. Okay? So this warrior class, as discovered in the Star Wars films. And the police force. So this is, just so you realize, this is not just the sort of bedsit pot-smoking, you know, just graduated from uni mucking about chaps. The police force, and they do a profile of their police officers and ask them their faith. A significant proportion of British constabulary declare that they are Jedis. They're Jedi Knights. They believe in the Jedi faith. So this is getting kind of into the news. You imagine the Daily Mail got hold of this story. 8 police officers declare themselves Jedi Knights and all the rest of it. And the story has just grown and grown and grown. Now, the Jedis actually have taken quite a blow, because in the 2011 census, which came around 10 years later, their numbers had significantly dropped to just 178,000 Jedis in this country, which is a fairly significant drop in attendance, isn't it, generally speaking, of conviction of the faith. And if you look online for the Jedis, you'll find that there are various different websites, and there is the Temple of the Jedi Knights, and then there's the Jedi Priestly or something like that. So you can see they've already had a church split. That's sort of the point I'm trying to make, right? And there's already Jedi denominations, and no doubt the faithful are already heartbroken and wandering in the wilderness. They're probably starting up the true Jedi church somewhere else out there. So something's going on. Something is going on. What's going on? 390,000 people is a lot of people. And you think about the Jehovah's Witnesses and all the zeal and all the energy and the money they pour into their publications and so on and so forth. And yet, even they, with all their passion, seemingly are unable to get much traction on the great British population. And this isn't just in Britain, as you were pointing out when you looked at it on the website. This is all over Western Europe and in Australia and New Zealand and, of course, in America in even more significant numbers. But by comparison, all these other kind of groups are struggling to compete. And here's the reason, I think the principal reason, the power of the Jedi, the real power that the Jedi have. It's Hollywood, isn't it? With the largest single communications distributions operation in the world today, behind them, pumping out their propaganda, pumping out their beliefs, pumping out their gospels, the various different books and the films and the cartoon franchises and so on and so forth, until you talk to young people today, then most of them can quote chapter and verse and do the accents, and all you have to do is make certain sounds and everybody recognizes it, because Hollywood is brilliant at communication, isn't it? Hollywood is brilliant at getting ideas across, making things likable and attractive, to get people to endorse, to purchase, to own, to love, to be passionate. This song Frozen, this film Frozen came out. There are girls all around the world singing, "Let it go, let it go." And every family up and down the country and around the world just know this song by heart now, because Hollywood has so much power. So much talent, so much investment, such incredible. So you can take something like Star Wars, just one slice of the great big Hollywood cake. But it just goes to show how influential that can be in giving people something to hang on to. Now we can look at the reasons why they're hanging on to it and how serious they are about it. But it is giving them a narrative, isn't it, to be drawn to, and a set of principles around which they can claim some sort of possession. Watchtower, I don't think Hollywood is going to bring out a 3D animated version of the Watchtower magazine anytime soon, because it's not going to sell, is it? It's not going to sell. Whereas Star Wars sells, and we're going to be talking about why the spirituality of things like Star Wars is so attractive and marketable. And why what we're talking about as Christians is always going to be at odds with the easy sell that Hollywood wants to make. Because in the end, Hollywood's about making money. And that is not what the church is here for. So there's always going to be a difference. There's been Do you know about the Pastafarians as well? The Pastafarians? No? So people are rebelling. People are rebelling. And we'll just talk about the nature of that rebellion is a little bit. But you know when you go and have your passport photograph taken, you're not allowed to smile. You have to look square on. All these kind of conditions that you're going to have. You've got to remove everything. If you've got glasses, you're not allowed to wear glasses, are you? You're not, are you? That's right. You've got to basically look as menacing and miserable as you possibly can as a British citizen to give them a proper representation of what we're like. And recently, they had a chap who wanted to wear a colander. You know what a colander, yeah? A colander on his head in his passport photograph. Because he felt that was a fair representation of himself, and that's how he wanted to be seen on his passport. And he went to court about this, and he said, I am a Pastafarian. Pasta as in Italian food. And I believe that I need to wear a colander on my head. And the legal basis for this claim was the fact that, and this was the kind of cause célèbre in the legal world, when, do you remember with the motorbikes, you have to wear, when they've made the rule, you've got to wear a helmet on a motorbike, except if you're a Sikh. Because if you're a Sikh, you all know, you're going to have to wear your turban, you're not allowed to take it off for your religion. So I'm not taking off my colander, because it's part of my faith. I believe, and he's a Pastafarian, and he's a colander head Pastafarian, right? And I think he got leave to keep his colander on in his passport picture. And people are rebelling, aren't they? Yes, I know it's satire, and it's tongue-in-cheek, which is a very, very British characteristic, isn't it? It's a very British characteristic, very tongue-in-cheek. But people are genuinely affronted by something. They're genuinely rebelling and making a stand and a statement. And this Jedi business of 2001 is a symptom of that. It's a symptom. Now, the Jedis now actually have ordained ministers. You can have your wedding if any of you... I think we're all married here or whatever. I don't think any of us get married. But if he wanted to, we could have a Jedi priest come and officiate, because they've gone through the legal processes, just like the Pastafarians. They've gone through the legal processes that now you can, if in a registered place of marriage, you could have your wedding conducted by a Jedi priest. You want to be a pastor? And although there, on the one hand, there's a lot of kind of, this is a lot of nonsense, and it is a lot of fun, and people are doing it in a spirit of fun, but it's not just the ordinary fun, it's mockery, isn't it? It's mockery and satire, which is quite different. And some of these people are actually taking the Jedi, I think, actually there are people, always get some, who actually take this quite seriously. They don't see it as a joke, they're really quite earnest about it. There are people who genuinely, believe in the Jedi faith, and they try to live by its principles. I mean, the head of one of these websites was recently, and some of them, these people are prepared to suffer for their faith, like the chap who organized the main Knights of the Jedi, I can't remember what it's called, the Knights of the Jedi Temple website, was recently ejected from the Tesco's in Cardiff because he wouldn't take his hood off. You know, they have these lightsabers, don't they? And you've got a hood over. So he walked into Tesco's in Cardiff, and the manager said, I'm afraid you're going to have to leave if you won't take your hood off. He said, well, I'm not taking my hood off because I'm a Jedi Knight. And it's my religious rights to wear my hood because that's part of my faith. They threw him out. They threw him out of the shop. Later, Tesco's put out a public apology saying, hoping that they hadn't offended the Force, and to make it absolutely clear that Jedis were welcome in Tesco shops all around the countries where they wanted to. But they also very cleverly pointed out that the Jedis in the movies sometimes take their hoods off, and could they please, when they do so, remove their hoods? I think the chap's answer was, you can't tell a Jedi when he's going to remove his hood, right? Because I'm a Jedi. On the websites, you'll find the 16 teachings of the Jedi. They're actually doing inscripturation. They're actually producing the kind of a set of body of commandments, presumably from watching the films and looking at the principles by which the Jedi live by and distilling them into little natty statements. There's 21 maxims which you get to learn by heart and to guide you. And basically, it's a kind of saccharine form of Buddhist kind of positivism, rewritings of things like... you know the Serenity Prayer? Is it Francis of Assisi's Serenity Prayer? Give me the grace to sort of, you know, that. It's basically written like that, but just in Jediese. I mean, it's nothing very original. I can tell you there is the spirituality of it is very, very mundane. There's nothing very interesting or exciting or counterintuitive or kind of spiritually demanding about it. It's kind of basically be good. And I must admit, at the end of the thing, I just sort of think the big problem for me with Jediism, really, and look, I am actually sort of vaguely being serious, not very serious, but sort of serious, is that in the end, you don't get to get a lightsaber. You know, in the end, you're kind of these kind of slightly sad sort of figures walking around believing in all this sort of stuff, but you don't even get the real goods. You don't get a real lightsaber, you just play games, and it's all just like a big game. But I guess in the end, it's just a bit of fun. It's just a bit of fun. And people think and feel that maybe religion and religious people, we just take it all too seriously. Maybe that's the point they're trying to make. That it's all getting, and look at the world today. Look at the world today, and look at what the zeal, people's zeal in the world today, some of the consequences of the zeal, people's zeal in the world today, what people are prepared to do. You can understand why people will be reluctant and taking a step back and thinking to themselves, you know, I don't think you should be taking things to that extreme. You know who's really upset about the Jedi? You know who's really, really, actually almost angry, the most angry, is the atheists. And by atheists, I don't mean the sort of general people who just don't believe in God. No matter, you know, they just don't believe in God. I'm talking about the aggressive, militant atheists who organize websites and material and films and banners on buses saying there is no God, probably, and all the rest of it. It's interesting they put probably in there, isn't it? A little moment of doubt there. That's agnostics. They're not actually atheists at all, are they? But the reason they're really upset about the Jedi is because they are genuinely, genuinely, seriously trying to remove religion from the public domain completely. They feel that this is so last century, it's so medieval, that the expression of religious faith in the public domain ought to be stopped absolutely and completely. And that only atheism can truly reflect the secular nation, the nature of modern society and modern mankind. And everything else is degenerate and unenlightened. And they are serious. They would have religion expunged from public discourse absolutely. And the reason they're annoyed with the Jedi's is because here is, well, you know, nearly 400,000 people who they think should have been ticking the box, I am an atheist, on the census, and lending their support to their great crusade to rid the public domain of any religious expression. They are furious that the House of Lords has got bishops by rights. That a bishop goes into the House of Lords just by merit of the fact that they're a bishop of the Church of England. Who gives these people, by what right, by what prerogative, by what merit should the Church of England field all these people who are going to have a stay in public discourse and policy? Why? And unfortunately, you see, what the atheists want, they want no religious representation in the House of Lords or in government whatsoever, because they feel that's a private matter. What you believe is up to you, but it doesn't have any place in the modern political world. And what annoys them about the Jedi is because the Jedi don't agree. The Jedi want the bishops there, but they want a Jedi knight sitting next to him, pulling out his lightsaber. If you don't agree with me. That's the kind of society they want, where there's a lot more real, massive tolerance and inclusiveness, where nobody gets taken, nobody has too much power, nothing gets taken too seriously. and ordinary people can just get on with their lives and enjoy themselves. This is the kind of the proposition, isn't it? And obviously, the 390 and all the rest of them, I actually found there's a member of this church who actually in the 2001 census ticked the Jedi box. They've since repented, but... But there's a kind of protest, wasn't there? It was a big protest saying, why is the government even asking the question to people about what they believe? I mean, let's face it, this is the kind of mindset. Well, let's face it. These beliefs, they're nonsensical. They're fictions. They're private fictions and fantasies. They're not rational. They're not scientific. They have no grounding or basis whatsoever. Why is a government, which is supposed to be a respectable body, taking an interest in something so ephemeral and uncertifiable, that maybe should be certified? Why should they be taking an interest in such? This question shouldn't even be in there. And that's what the Jedi are saying. This isn't government, this is none of your business. You shouldn't be asking us. There should be no policies made on whether there's a what percentage. What are we going to have quotas? How many people of certain faiths are going to be? I mean, how are we going to, is this going to be wrap around your education around the way these questions get answered? And they're protesting, which we refuse to participate in any government-led interest in people's faith. Because faith is not something that should be public, it's something that is private. It's private, and it's certainly none of the government's business. But they're also having a serious protest against the credibility of religion, aren't they? They're saying, we find, as we evaluate religion, we find it wanting, we find it lacking credibility. In short, what they're saying, there is as much credibility in a Star Wars film with its fictional characters and their superpowers and their funny swords and all the silly clothes and all the rest of it, as all the strange fictional stuff that people seem to believe who hold to religious persuasions. There's quite a lot of anger and criticism being harboured in these points of view, isn't there? It's been going on for a long, long time. Jedis, I mean, we're talking about Jedis because it happens to be just one single phenomenon, but the truth, Hollywood has produced all sorts of stories and figures and characters and knights and cowboys, and these are space cowboys really, all these sort of people, and they've formed the kind of morality around these stories. And for a couple of hundred years this has been going on in America and Britain. What I think, do you know what I mean by deism? You know, it's just the general belief that there is a God, there is a force, there is a something out there. The organized religion hasn't got the answers, it just tends to abuse, and you know, life should be lived in a moral way, and we can work that out between ourselves, and we need to encourage each other to do the right thing, because in the end good's got to overcome evil. And but to pin your colours to the mast and say Jesus or Christ crucified, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, to get down into that sort of detail, that Hollywood's basic position is that's a mistake. They want to appeal to as many people as possible, don't they? They're not looking to find the elect, they're not trying to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel, they haven't got a sense of mission. They're trying to get as many people as they can to go to the cinema and sit in the seats and pay their money and eat popcorn and then buy the DVD and produce astronomic amounts of revenue to produce a very, very energetic industry. And so they don't want to appeal to the specifics. They want to get as wide a field out there as possible. They want to cross the denominations. They want to cross the religions. They want to appeal to atheists and everybody and anybody. They just want to create a set of heroes that people can believe in, whether they be cowboys or space cowboys or Jedi knights. Doesn't matter who they are, whether it's sci-fi or in the past or in the present or in a made-up world. In the end, all these characters are the same. The more films I see, it seems to be almost like a narrative that exists, a broad moral narrative that exists across these stories.